chapter 9.
We are in chapter 9 of Igeres HaTshuvah, Igeres HaKodesh, which is on page 435, 436. This is a pretty incredible letter. Again, this is a tzedakah letter. We have a couple more letters that deal with tzedakah, and he turns on to a different subject. But this one and the next one for sure. In this letter, he really does it like hitting home the personal touch over here. At other times, the Alter Rebbe has mentioned the idea of affecting the entire creation process by giving tzedakah. He's talked about the benefits of giving tzedakah. Here, this one's sort of like more like the guilt of not giving tzedakah is what he's dealing with over here. Interpretation is my own. As he even starts, my beloved, my brethren, my friends who are like my soul. Okay, now, the Alter Rebbe was not one for mincing words. So he could have said, it's a normal thing to start out a letter of an appeal, Ayeve Ache Vareye, Reyai, my beloved, my brothers, my friends. What's this Ashir Kenashi business that are like my soul? So being that the next line states that he's coming to arouse those who are sleeping, how would it be if you got a letter from the Rebbe saying that I love you like I love myself? That would be pretty impressive. You would take note. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is trying to do. He's trying to impress upon everybody and to arouse within them not the severity of the situation, but the seriousness of the situation, in that the funds that are needed, and this is not, he's not joking. And so to do that, what he says is that deep down, you are just like me. Now, to understand the significance of the Alter Rebbe to say that, there was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, I forget which chassid it was, maybe it was, you could see, a Leipler, somebody like this, one of those classic mythical figures that we read about in the books, who said that me, compared to the Alter Rebbe, is like a cat. It's like comparing me to a cat. And he says it's not like there's three different levels. There's the Alter Rebbe, there's me, and then there's the cat. Compared to the Alter Rebbe, me and the cat are on the same level. So we used to get this from various mashpiyim, that when the Rebbe would be like by Farbringing, and he'd have all these people, and it does say, the Arizal said it, and I think there are other Rebbes who said it, how much it pains them to be in the same room with Rishoyim, with wicked people. So the Rebbe never said it, but we can understand that there was a... The Rebbe must have felt it also. When the Rebbe would look out at this room full of goats and cows and other Vilde Chayas, so it was like your grandmother would call you a Vilde Chaya. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbeim, they would see Chayas. They would see, oh, this guy's a cow, this guy's a goat, this guy's a wild dog, this guy's a chazer. Okay? So for the Rebbe to say, now, the Rebbe's not lying. It is impossible for the Rebbe to lie. Rebbe is a tzaddik. And just as it's so totally and completely removed from your mind to do some heinous crime, to like go to mass tomorrow morning, you never even think about it, never occur to you. So for a tzaddik, it would never occur to him to even just like bend the truth, a white lie, a little bit of a stretch here and there. This all came out in great detail during the trial involving the books, the Svarim back in the mid to late 80s, and the things that came out about the previous Rebbe and this Rebbe, and how it was that the Rebbe could not say something which wasn't true 100%. There was a situation where the Rebbe was deposed in his office, and their lawyer asked the Rebbe, when the Rebbe says by Verbrengen, Nasi Dorenu, which means the leader of our generation, so he would say, this is the way the Rebbe would say it, he would say, he says, state by them Shver, Nasi Dorenu, which means, as it says, my father-in-law would say, the leader of the generation. So there's like a major comma there. So they asked him, so who do you mean when you say Nasi Dorenu? So the Rebbe put his head down on his arm, like what a person would say when he says Tachnan. And he started to cry a little bit. And then he composed himself. But without picking his head up off of his arm, he pointed to himself. When the Rebbe was saying Nasi Dorenu, the leader of the generation, he meant himself. So it wasn't that he was making this up. You know, things came up. Listen, everybody knew that when did it say on 770, Agudas Chassidi Chabad, which is the organization which was brought the Friedrich Rebbe here, the umbrella organization of Corporate Lubavitch. Everybody knows that Levi Sudak painted those letters on the building right around the time when the Rebbe sued his nephew. So everybody knew this. So they said, how come all of a sudden it took till now? So maybe you're making a hack. So that was like the deal. It never really belonged to 770 didn't belong to Agudas Chassidi Chabad. The library didn't belong to Agudas Chassidi Chabad. So, but it came out in testimony, and this is what the judge's ruling clearly states, that he sees that by the answers that the Rebbe gave, that it is impossible for a person of the caliber like a Rebbe to say something which is not 100% accurate. So now, when the Alter Rebbe says...
That's what the judge said?
That's what the judge said, a non-Jewish judge, yes.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay, so now, when the Alter
Rebbe... Hardened people.
Yeah. When the Alter Rebbe says that you are like my soul, he's not just throwing in... This is not poetry. This is not flowery words. This is an expression of the Rebbe's true Avos Yisrael. Of course, we would expect that a Rebbe would do every mitzvah. So one of the mitzvahs happens to be V'ahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. You should love your fellow as yourself. Reyacha means your friend. So he calls them here, my beloved, my brethren, my friends. That you are like me. You're like my soul. Not me, my body, which you can see, but me, my essence, my soul. Because, and this is not an untruth, because even a person, how could you say you're on the same caliber as Alter Rebbe? Well, essentially, before the souls get processed and have to go through Seder Istalshalus, so yeah, they're like, it's Kenashi, like my soul. Your soul's like my soul. So then he says, Basi Kemazkir Ma'iri Yeshena Vitardemim Hevle Havalim. It says these are the commentary zero on in this, that he says this in ascending order. In Gemara terminology it's called Lozu Avzu. Not even this, not just this, but also this. So it's enough for a person to be called Yeshena that he's asleep. He wants people to be aroused to give charity and to support the causes in the Holy Land. Okay, but this guy's asleep. So what do you need to do if somebody's asleep? It says, for example, in concerning Kedusha. Okay, if you have a person who is sleeping, you have to wake him up for Kedusha. He doesn't count. You can't count him as one of the ten if he's asleep. Okay, because he's not partying, he's not there, he's asleep. So here it is, he says that you have this person, he's not giving. Why? Because he's asleep. Now, sleep means you give a one of those, and the guy wakes up. But the next word that he says, bitardemus, which means a slumber. We know just the nuance in English between sleep and slumber is much deeper. Okay, a person who is slumbering, if you go, garnish helfen. Okay, you have to do the ALS ice bucket challenge on the guy. Wake him up. Okay? Don't try that one at home, folks. Actually, people are doing it. I'm glad nobody nominated me. Anyway, so even a person who is, and this is, and what is it? It says people want to do the right thing. Everybody wants to do the right thing. That's why you have, by a get, you have the expression, you have a guy who doesn't want to give his wife a get. So what does it say to do kaif and isa ad shamarat zani? You force him, you compel him until he says, okay, I want to. We have knowledge also that a person who is forced to give a get against their will invalidates the get. So here we have two apparently contradictory statements. One statement says you can't compel the guy, and the other statement says you could compel the guy. The difference is what was the result of your compelling? If you're compelling enough, so then he could say, Ratzaani, I want to. But if he's saying, no, I don't want to, and you're pushing his hand, so you're making him drop the get into her hand, so that's, he says, I don't want, so that's not a get. But if you can convince the guy, listen, you really need to give this woman a get. Do you want to give her a get? He says, yes. Okay, whichever way happens to be that the guy says, yes, I want to give. We believe him. Okay? Even if you're standing there with a gun at his face, and you say, you want to give this woman a get, and he says, yes, I want to give this woman a get, we believe him that that's what he really wants to do, because deep down, everybody wants to do the right thing. And if we're standing there coercing the guy so that he says, I want to, that's the real thing. For some reason, his Yetzirah is putting up a fight and a struggle. That's not the real him. Okay? Everybody wants to do the right thing. And it should be, it's like I say on my radio show sometimes, at least once a month, maybe every 6 weeks. Listen, if you guys would give money on a regular basis, and the show would be paying for itself, I wouldn't have to waste 3 minutes at the end of the show telling people, please give to the show. Go on my website, RabbiFinman.com, and contribute whatever it is, yada, 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 yada. I could be giving over valuable information rather than having to handle to get money. So the Alter Rebbe understands that why is it that he's got to do this is because these people are asleep. Really, they want to do the right thing. And so what does he have to do? He's saying, listen, I have to wake you guys up a bit. But he understands also that it's not just waking them up. It's not just snapping a finger. This is tardema. This is a slumber. And what is the person slumbering about? This, since last week, trying to get an appointment to talk to anybody about money in Oak Park, Southfield, Huntington Woods, forget about it. I'm so busy taking care of my basement, Rabbi, it's not the time. Okay? Because, why? Listen, this guy's got mold. Okay, I have bills and expenses for projects that I have to pay, but this guy's got mold. So what takes precedent? His mold. It's his mold. Okay? But Be'emes, so the guy wants to give, but, as he says, past, what's past tardema? Havale havalim. in vanities of vanities. Vanities of vanities means the problems of the world. Okay? There is nothing more empty than Olam Hazeh HaGashmi. And what are problems? A problem is the product of klippa. And what is a klippa? A klippa is like a balloon. How many uninflated balloons can you stick on the back seat of your car? Thousands. Okay? Thousands and thousands of uninflated balloons you could put on the back seat of your car. Okay? So now you got a kid who's got a birthday, and you drive to the dollar store, and you get these 12-inch Mylar balloons filled with helium. How many could you put in the back seat of your car? Five, six. You know, that's it. Finish. What's the difference? This one is ungeblossen. It's all blown up. So that's what the Olam Hazeh is. Olam Hazeh is a balloon. And what happens is we have things that we have to do. But we have these big, massive, huge balloons. We're not just talking the dollar ones now. We're talking the $7 balloons. Okay? The big ones. Okay? Those are what we're trying to get by. We're trying to get around. We're trying to work our way through. We want to get to the other side. But we have this $7 balloon in front of us. It's massive. It's huge. It's taking up all the space. Okay? What is it? It's hevel. It's air. It's nothing. This is, I tell people, my classic line is, there's no such thing as a problem. There's a solution yet to be found. So this person, he wants to do the right thing. Unfortunately, not only is he asleep, not only is he slumbering, that you really got to give him a good kick to wake him up. What's he slumbering in? He's slumbering in the stupidity of his problems. Elsewhere, one of the more famous Maimarim from the Rebbe is Maim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Asa'ava V'Naharis Lo Yishtafu. It's a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, I believe, and the great waters cannot quench the love, and the great rivers cannot quench it or put it out. So what is the Mayim Rabim? What is what's the great water? This is a mimer from Parshas Noach. The flood water is called Mayim Rabim. Okay, you know what happens? Flood waters. What happened in the flood in the Mabul? Everybody died. Okay? So that's what he says. Our problems to us, they seem like we're being deluged. And that's a common English word also. He's deluged with his problems. I said, so everybody's got an excuse. An excuse not to give is always easy. Okay? Moshe Feinstein summed it up. Somebody asked Moshe Feinstein, people have chutzpah. Somebody asked Moshe Feinstein, how come he paskins so leniently? Okay, a bit of a chutzpah. Okay, there are plenty of instances where Moshe Feinstein would be the only poisik who would say that such a scenario is permissible. Every other poisik in the world would say you're not allowed to do it. Moshe Feinstein would say you could do it. So he developed in the yeshivish world, he developed a reputation for being a kal, for being a lenient person. So they asked him. He said, to say no is easy. Somebody says to you, can I do this? Is it kosher? So it's real easy to say, no, it's treif. Because what's the worst that'll happen? Nothing. He's not going to do it. And if he doesn't do it, big deal. We're not talking about like the story with the Baal Shem Tov, with the Rav, with the chicken, who was Erev Yom Kippur. The lady came and said, could you look at the chicken please for me? And he says, I don't have time. Here's $5. Go get another chicken. And then when the Rav came to heaven, the chicken was waiting for me. I was kosher. Why didn't you paskin I was kosher? Instead, I got eaten by a guy. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking, you know the story, I'm sure. It says,
I just heard it.
It says, We're talking that to say no. That's the easy way out. Lady comes to her Rav with a shaila. What do I do with this? I'm sorry, it's not kosher. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do that. So what's going to happen? She's not going to do it, and therefore nothing. But the Moshe Feinstein maintained that if you tell him yes, you can, or yes, it's kosher, so now they're going to eat it. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's much harder to say yes.
Sure.
And the Rav has to really be on top of things in order to say yes. So when it comes to giving tzedakah, it's very easy to say no. I have this expense, I have that expense, I already give. I love it when I ask a guy, please, I have this project, I have that project, please support me. And they say, I support this project, I support that project, I support this other project, thank you very much. I'm not interested in the list of where you give money to. It doesn't help me. And it's one of those one of the classic fundraiser jokes. Is a guy goes into a rich guy in his office and he starts laying out his whole proposal, the things he's got. He says, "Listen, I have a brother-in-law who doesn't have a job. I have a cousin who Nebuch is very sick. Okay, I have an old mother in a nursing home. I don't give them money either. What makes you think I'm going to give you money?" You know, so this is the deal. Not to give is easy. You don't even need excuses. You just say no. Okay? Well, even worse than that is the guy who has to ask his accountant, "Have I given enough this year?" Okay, that's absolutely the worst. Here it is, it's September, and the guy is telling me, "Well, I'm good through December 31st. Call me back in January." Good. And what's supposed to happen with my pa'ulas? It's supposed to shut down till January because you're paid up on your taxes. You've reached your maximum deduction, allowable deductions, and after this, it's just no Nebuch, it's tzedakah. Okay, I tell somebody, listen, 10%, you have this deal, we have this number, okay, this person knows he has to give 10% of his tzedakah away, okay, and he knows the line that Hashem promises a person 110% on the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that is, that's what's appropriated, and so he knows he has to give 10% away, okay, but that's not tzedakah, that's meiser. It's different. Tzedakah, we talked about already. Where did we talk about it? In the second, the third chapter. It's the third letter where he said it's better to give a bunch of prutas one at a time. Throw a couple of quarters into a charity box every single day. The big donation's okay, fine. Because the 10%, Hashem says, listen, I'm giving you 10% because you're supposed to support projects. You're supposed to do things behider. So fine. But the tzedakah comes after the 10%.
Right. Right.
Okay? That's where it starts becoming, it's like push comes to shove. Okay? And it's the same thing with like the idea that he talks about in chapter 15. Who's an Eved Hashem is a person who learns his lesson 101 times. Who's a person, that's an Eina Eved. Who's somebody who's not serving Hashem is a person who learns his lessons 100 times. Who's a servant of Hashem is a person who learns it 101 times. Because when you get used to it, no big deal. I did it 100 times. That's what I do. That's normal. Okay? If you're used to running a mile every day, so after a while, a mile every day becomes like big deal. You won't even develop your heartbeat won't even get speed up because that's what you're used to. Go run a mile and a quarter, see what happens now. Okay, so you have to have this extension of stuff. So this is what the deal with Heve Havolis is. Hevel Havolis, that vanities of vanities, stuck in the world, any reason for not giving really needs analysis. Why is it that the person's not giving? Is it because he's so inundated with his own problems? Well, what are his own problems? Okay, next level down. This is not only this, we said went from sleeping to slumbering to empty vanities, to open up the eyes of the blind. This guy's so far gone that he can't even see clearly. Okay, this person has serious problems, and or so as we say, solutions that need to be found. And his biggest problem is that he's not even looking for the solutions. The Friedrich Rebbe in a Maimer in Kontrasim talks about the different levels of people in Shmeina Esrei. We say in the second bracha, the bracha Machayim Esim, we say, Okay? So the Friedrich Rebbe says those are three different types of people. You have a person who's a neifel, you have a person who's a chayla, and you have a person who's asur. Okay, a neifel, soimek neiflim, the guy's fallen. What does that mean? That's a person who's lost sensitivity towards spirituality. That's why he's a neifel. Neifel means he's falling out. And what's the next step? He's fallen out so much that he's become a chayla. He's sick. What's a sick person? So it says in Hayyim Yayim, a sick person is a person who tastes things that are bad for him to taste good, and things that are good for him taste bad. That's a sick person. Meaning to say that this person is so sick that they think, for example, that the pursuit of mundane pleasures is a good thing, and being involved with Yiddishkeit is a waste of time. That person is called sick. But then you have somebody who's worse than that. You have somebody who's also, he's imprisoned. This person is so steeped and so far away from Yiddishkeit that they don't even recognize that Yiddishkeit is Yiddishkeit. Okay, those are the Asurim. And Hashem says that what has to happen? Mechaya HaMeisim. So how does the bracha end? To Hashem enlivens. What are we davening for? Listen, those are not requests. Those are statements that saying Hashem is the one who's going to take care. So now, the Rebbe said, it's famous for bringings, where the Rebbe would ask for an appeal. There's one for bringing when the Rebbe asked everybody to please write down on a piece of paper how much they're giving for this and this cause. I don't remember when the Verbrengen was, I don't remember what the cause was. And the Rebbe, normally what happens when you do an appeal like that, so they got thrown into a bag and they got taken up, and then everybody, like, they forgot about it, they did it, they didn't do it. No. In this instance, the Rebbe sat there and he went through the bag, pledge by pledge. And he told somebody, he would call out a name and he would say, how much more or how much less? There's some people who said, no, this is too much for you, give this much. Most of the time it was involved Bachram, the Bachram don't have any money anyway. Okay, there's one guy who the Rebbe said, he looked at his note and he yelled out 100 times more. And he hadn't put down a small number. The 100 times more. And the Rebbe explained, listen, if you've got a debt, so it's up to the Almighty to pay back the debt, especially if you're paying for good things. If you're supporting your family with a Yiddish education and a Yiddish lifestyle and kosher food, and you're giving tzedakah, it says Hashem doesn't remain a bal chayv. Hashem doesn't remain in debt. Hashem pays back. And Hashem will give back all the money that you paid. And in some instances, it's 3 times. Sometimes it's 4 times. And sometimes it's even 10 times that a person will get back. So a person shouldn't worry that they're laying out all this money, because since it is something for some good cause, some good purpose, so Hashem for sure will pay them back threefold, fourfold, tenfold. Okay, so it just so happened with that, the famous story with that guy who was told to give 100 times more. So it was, he was coming from Israel, and it was all the money he had in his pocket. He was coming to buy diamonds. Okay, to take diamonds back to Israel and get them polished and sell them in Antwerp, the whole business over there, the whole syndicate that they have in diamonds, which still exists. So now he's got no money to buy diamonds, and he's thinking, well, okay, the Rebbe told me I got to do. So it just so happened that he stopped off in England on the way back, and this was, I think, in the 50s, so planes took forever. So to fly straight from New York to Israel without taking a break was unhuman. It was inhumane. So people would fly to England, they'd spend a couple of days in England and get back on a plane. You know, and maybe they'd fly to Israel, maybe they'd fly to Italy and spend a day or two in Italy to try and get back. You know, because these plane rides are horrible. So here he's in England, and the guy tells him that he needs him for a partner. And he says, I haven't got any money to be a partner. He says, but your expertise is good enough to be for a partner. He says, come with me, pick out diamonds. So he went with him. He spent the day in the London Diamond Exchange picking out stones for the guy. And sometime in the future after that, the guy sent him a check for 10 times the amount that he had given the Rebbe. Because he said, this is, he says, I didn't pay you, I didn't hire you for the day. You're a partner. That was what I said. You got half. And this is what it represents. So Hashem takes care. We have nothing to worry about. And especially you have a person who's who opens up the eyes of the blind. That this person is so sunk in his own problems and his own financial woes that he's blind to see anything else. And the Alter Rebbe says Hashem even opens up the eyes of such a person to see that, yeah, they too have to give tzedakah. Yabitu lirais, he'll open them, liyais, kol yisha v'chafsim agmasim, lekol behem chaye ruchem b'makar mayim chayim chaye chayim kol yimei chayim menefesh v'ad basar. And that they can see that throughout their lives that all of this work and their longing and their trying and all this, they're trying to get the spirit of life within them, okay, from the source of the source of life, the source of living waters, it's for the soul of their flesh, kind of kol milei da'alma v'oisek v'parnasa. What are they doing? They're running around, they're chasing their tail. They're in the rat race. They're in the grind. Whatever word you would like to describe how people make money. Okay, all of them involve toil. Okay? Unfortunately, since Adam ate from that fruit, so it says, Adam li'amal yuvolid, man was born to toil. And we're stuck, we gotta do it. Okay? But people have cervical vertebrae. And our cervical vertebrae look around in all different directions. And one of the ways which you can position your cervical vertebrae is so that your chin is facing straight up. So even though a person may be stuck in the mire, he may be up to his nose in filth, he can always look up and see and say, listen, Hashem, cut me some slack. And realize that the floodwaters in which he's being deluged, he was given a boat. Hashem gives him the tools to traverse the floodwaters. And so he shouldn't be hung up on matters of the world for parnasa. Okay? Like before, I've said it already a zillion times in this forum, that if a person is up at night worrying about financial problems, or any problem even, so he's doing the wrong thing. Because there's no problem that a person should keep a person awake at night. Because what does staying awake at night do for the problem? If it is that you're lying in bed and you have an aha moment and this is what's going to solve the problem, okay, good. So now that you figured that out, roll over and go to sleep. Okay, but most likely what happens is the person's worried. Oh, I'm so worried that this is happening and this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this horrible thing is going to happen, but they're not thinking about the solutions. So that type of a worrying, that's not called problem solving, that's just called worrying. That's a product of the Yetzer Hara. The guy doesn't sleep. What happens if you don't sleep? You can't function the next day. I can't wake up early enough to get to shul in order to daven with the minyan. And for sure not to learn before davening to get my head in the right place, because I was up all night worrying about my problems. Lo yike'eli, should not be like these. Turn page. La'avdu legarmehu, who do things for their own self-gratification. What's propelling a person to work? He wants to acquire stuff. This is one of the equalizing factors of having 20,000 sewers back up in 20,000 houses is it's a great equalizer. On the curb, it's all garbage.
It's all the same on the curb.
Okay? And everybody says the same thing.
Yes, indeed.
Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. The stuff on the curb is just... And it takes that type of a thing. A lifetime of accumulation.
That's right.
Okay? I haven't met too many people who said, I felt really bad that I had to put this stuff on the curb. Okay? Even people from Huntington Woods.
Yeah.
You know, where they have rich garbage.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So even them, it's just stuff.
Just stuff. That's right.
Okay? V'loyi beis Yisrael kegoyim. And the Jews shouldn't act like the nations of the world. In the text, it says... like the servants of idols. But this is a public letter. This is going to be circulating around all over the place. The Russians were not stupid people. There are many people that knew and involved with the government and for sure with the church that knew how to read Hebrew. So when the Alter Rebbe had to refer to non-Jews, meaning the Russian population, the peasants and whatnot, so he always used an expression, something to the tune of like the idolaters. Not, you shouldn't act like the idolaters. So the Russian Orthodox don't consider themselves idolaters. Okay, so it must not mean, he must not be meaning us. He must be talking about those people like the Greeks who were worshipping idols. Okay, but in the Luach HaTikun, and the translator translated it according to the way it's supposed to be. The translation says like the nations of the world. Okay? Because literally, that itself is already, that's polished enough. That's a little bit of a whitewash itself. Because normally we think goyim, the word goyim means non-Jews. And here you could look at it, he's saying, listen, we don't want to be accusatory, this is English. So he says the nations of the world, not like the nations. Okay, so nation is this ethereal concept of like, you know, these geographic, demographic groups, whatever.
Right.
Okay, you're not thinking, oh, you got Jews and non-Jews. But everybody knows goyim is not the Hebrew word goyim. Goyim is the Yiddish word goyim.
Yeah.
What does he say about the non-Jews? The zanin umefarnesin umakirin linashayin ubanayim ba'ava. That they feed, they provide, and they take care of their wives and children out of love. But you might think, what's so bad about that? Well, what if they don't love them?
They have obligation?
They don't, they leave. Guy doesn't like his wife or kids, they don't take care of them. Especially the peasants in Russia, are you kidding? guy didn't like his wife, he would just kick her out. Didn't like his kids, okay, he could kill his kids. I mean, you know, so, you know. This is not to be like them. That they do things, why is it that they're doing it? Is because, listen, if I take care of my wife, then I'll get to eat. Okay? On YouTube is one of these viral things. One of the bad things about Facebook is all the stuff that people put on, and if it's put on in a catchy way, so even people like me get sucked into it. And when I get done with it, I was like, what did I get sucked into this for? Okay, there's always got to be something. So there's a YouTube video from Alan Arkin. I have no idea who Alan Arkin is. It's a name. Evidently some kind of a movie star, a comedian, based on who Alan Arkin is. And there's a video called I Like You. And he's singing a song. Okay? And what's this song, I Like You? It says, I like you. Yeah, my blood pressure's not very high. You're pretty plain looking. I haven't met anybody like you in maybe a year or two. You know, when I go away, I don't miss you. But at the end it says, but you're a good cook and I do like to eat. You know, that's the song. Okay? This is like,
that's not committal.
What do I get out of the deal? Okay? So we learned already from chapter one, it's like, you shouldn't be thinking, if I give tzedakah, what do I get out of the deal? Okay, you'll ask any fundraiser, if a guy is going to give you funds, only if he gets a name in 18-inch letters, what would you do? They would all say, I would put up the name in 18-inch letters. Okay? But unfortunately, the reason why this person is giving is because he wants the name up there in 18-inch letters. If he doesn't get the 18-inch letters, he's not giving a penny. Okay, so it's not a good reason to give. It's still considered tzedakah. Ask the guy who got the money. Okay, but we shouldn't be, that a person shouldn't be thinking when they're giving tzedakah, well, what do I get out of the deal? Even to go so far as to say, I had a whole discussion today with somebody in soup kitchens. Okay, somebody wants to start like a Jewish-run soup kitchen, so that teenagers could go work in these soup kitchens and volunteer, and they should learn volunteerism, and they should learn about helping people, mm-hmm. and they shouldn't be thinking about themselves. It should be a Jewish-run soup kitchen. Okay, social justice, yes. Tikkun Olam. Okay? So, I said, listen, this is what you're going to get. My assessment of it. Not that soup kitchens are a bad thing. Unfortunately, soup kitchens are necessary. And the reason why you should be opening up a soup kitchen is to feed people. That should be the only reason for a soup kitchen. Because if you think that you're going to teach social justice, so you'll get this person will come, and as long as there's a chicness about it and a mystique, that they can say that on December 25th, instead of eating Chinese food and going to a movie, I went down to a soup kitchen and put stuff on people's trays, yes, and I posted my selfie on Facebook, so they'll continue to do it. But as soon as it loses that mystique, it loses that chicness, that fun, they're out, they're gone. And I've seen this a zillion times with kids who do spend their December 25th down in Detroit. Okay, they'll do it 1 year, 2 years after that. Okay, I did that already. That's for like 16, 17-year-olds. I'm 19 years old now. I don't need to do that. Okay, that's not cool or chic anymore. So when a person gives, they shouldn't be looking for what they're going to get out of it. Ki mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad b'Yisrael. Jews are different. That's what that statement means, because who is like your nation, Israel, one nation in the land, which means that we are unique, we have a unique relation with Hashem, we have greater responsibilities and greater expectations are upon us. And when it comes to the giving of tzedakah, really it shouldn't be that a person should get a reminder letter to remind them that, oh, by the way, you have to give tzedakah. A person should be saying, oh, I have to give tzedakah. Especially at the end of the year, a person has to take a cheshbon as to how much they have to give, and they should be looking, where can I get rid of this money that I have to get rid of before Rosh Hashanah? D'hayin shegam be'enyanei eretz lo yifridu. Okay, that means to say that even in mundane matters, even in just normal everyday life, this is not going to oppose any type of interposition between him and Hashem. Me'echad ha'emes chas v'sholom, from Hashem's true oneness. Now, the world, we said, is full of stuff. It's very big. It's a 7-foot balloon over here, $7 balloon. So it could very easily feel that a person's going to get inundated. But a quick way not to get inundated, maintain the connection. If a person is hanging on to, if a person is wearing a life jacket and he's hanging on to a life preserver, which has got a rope which is tied to the other end of the boat, so he's got no problems. Okay, he's stuck in the water right now. But, so what? He's okay. He's got the connection. Lahed eidus sheker chas v'sholom b'kriyas shma. That this person would never ever testify falsely. Because every single day, twice a day, erev avoker, the person says kriyashma. And what does he say? He says Hashem Echad. Be'einayim seguris Hashem Echad. He says it with closed eyes. Saying, I don't see anything. I don't see the world. When you close your eyes, the world disappears. That's why we put our hand over our eyes. Is that we shouldn't say, when we're saying Hashem Echad, it shouldn't be that I see this and I see that and I see him and I see her. We should see nothing, that we should be relate to. How much nothing can we see? We could see all the nothing. So we could relate to the oneness of Hashem. B'dalad ruchos, b'dashamayim ma'al, v'aretz mitachas, in all four directions, in the heaven above, on the earth below, that there's nothing else besides Hashem. U'pokeach einei ha'ivrim, that he opens up the eyes of the blind. V'his ayef einecha, you should open your eyes, boy. V'ein einechas v'sholem. Ach b'zois yois lanu l'hiyois b'hiyois kol oiskim v'mili da'alma loy l'garmeyu. When we're involved in our day-to-day chores, our day-to-day affairs, when we're involved in the business, it shouldn't be, what am I getting out of this? It's not, we don't go to work to make money. That's basically what a donkey does. Donkey works so that if it knows that if it'll work, it'll schlep, it'll get fed. And so a donkey schleps. So we're not such schleppers. We don't have to work in order to get fed. That's not why we're not working to make money. Because then we'd be nothing but donkeys. We're working in order that we should be able to provide the right lifestyle for our family and make the world a better place. That's why we're working. Kim lahachias nefashis chelki elokis. We're working in order to enliven our portion, our godly portion of our soul. Lemoleis machsorehem, to fulfill any deficiencies. Bechesed chinam, with absolute unwarranted kindness. Okay, because technically speaking, if we got what we deserved, Hashem gave us what we deserved, we'd be in deep trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
The fact that we get what we get, and we get so good what we get, it's chesed chinam from Hashem. It's unwarranted. There's no pay. Hashem's not looking for a payback. Hashem's just saying, okay, I'll give the guy. Shebezeh anu medamim hatzeres liyitzer Hashem Echad. This now we are compared the form to the image maker, who's Hashem Echad. Asher chesed kiel kol hayayim, chesed shel emes, that Hashem is kind all day, an absolute true kindness. That absolute true kindness means I'm not looking for anything in return. And the ultimate kindness is that we're here. The fact that Hashem, we talked about before in previous letters, how much godliness is in the world, an infinitesimal amount. It doesn't take anything for Hashem to create the world, but the fact that Hashem did create the world is a tremendous expression of Hashem's kindness. The only deal is, as we understand that you have to take care of your wife, you have to take care of your kids, and your kids can't starve, so you could give tzedakah according to the Torah. But then you have to flip now to the Luach HaTikun. The English has it. It's not where the paragraph ends in the English, but in the Hebrew, if you'll flip to page, this, the Luach HaTikun is not corrected in English because the English has it already. Page 691, the bottom of the page, and the top numbers, it's 382. Mm-hmm. Okay, the last line says, the line begins with the word Ubanav, Hatera. According to the halacha period, Al Kain, therefore. So it should read, the last column, the inside column, is Hatera Chutz, that your wife and family come first. Chutz mit tzadikim shebador, aside from the leaders, the tzadikim of the generation. Shehen kaidim levanav, they come before your kids. Because what happens if it says that there's one person, the tzadik hador, is the century point for godliness to come into this world. What happens? He dies. You have no century point. Okay, so his life and his projects actually come before your kids. The tzaddikim sheber Israel kadmon le tzaddikim shebechutz la'aretz, and the tzaddikim that are in Israel, since they had the mesiras nefesh and they have the extra mitzvah of living in Israel, it's a mitzvah to live in the borders of the Holy Land, and so the tzaddikim that are living there have precedent over the tzaddikim outside Israel. So actually there is precedent. It says the precedent for giving tzedakah is your own family first. If there are poor people within your family, no, who's going to take care of them? Hashem gave you means, you take care of them. Then after that it says, Aniye Iracha Kadmain. The poor people of your city take precedent. These are people that are knocking on doors. Where else are they going to go? Then after that, it's a Niye Eretz Yisrael. After that, it's people in the Holy Land. The people in the Holy Land have traditionally needed outside support. There's always been a lack of funds in Israel, even though today you have fundraisers that go to Israel to knock on people's doors in wealthier neighborhoods in Israel, like Ramat Aviv and Netanya, Nahariya, these places in the suburbs of Haifa, in the hills of Yerushalayim, there's big bucks. A person who's putting down $1 million for a two-bedroom apartment in Nachalot, Yerushalayim, I wouldn't exactly call him needy. You know, so then if you got anything left over, so then you have the poor people in other cities in your country, and other causes. Okay, is the way that it goes. Provided that there's nobody like them. So if the Tzadik Hador happens to live outside Israel, so he would come first before the Tzadikim in Israel. And how would you know that he's a Tzadik Hador? People just kind of sort of know these things. It says, there's nobody in Israel that's like him. And people kind of sort of can figure those kind of things out.
Yeah.
Okay? And then it says Al Kain, and that's where we're stopping. We're stopping at Al Kain Oyevai, which is the now. This is, that was just the setup. next lesson, but we should finish next week, is going to be the push, as it's called.
Wow.
Now you got to give, and this is why you got to give. To be continued.
Thank you. All right.